Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Paranormal Horizons with your hosts, Jason Ophir and Psychic Medium Sherry. The show is about to begin. Well, good evening, everyone. And once again, thank you for taking the time out of your hopefully beautiful and entertaining Sunday to spend some time with us on Paranormal Horizons. And I'm Jason Ophir, as usual, joined with the beautiful and talented psychic medium, Sherry. And we've been off for several weeks, so let's get caught up. Sherry, how's it going?
I'm recovering from being sick, but I'm doing well. I'm about almost 90% well. But other than that, I'm just, either got sick from either the gym or at the stores. So that's pretty much where I'm at.
Well, I'll tell you that everyone I know is getting sick, and it's prompted me. It's so bad, it's prompted me to maybe go back to wearing an N95 mask when I'm out in public. I think things are getting much worse out there, and after my first run with the Rona, I don't particularly want to get that again. So I think I'm going to be proactive and start masking up. Once again, but other than that, not a lot going on my end. I'm still trying to sell my house, and nothing terribly exciting. I was a little perturbed. Somebody came to view my house the other day, and I have surveillance cameras everywhere because I'm a total creeper, and I could hear what they were saying. The real estate agent was saying, she comes into my place and says, "Oh, it's a little disappointing. It's excessively worn for 2020. My place is built in 2020, and my place is pristine. So I don't know. Some of these people are like smoking crack or something, and so I was really frustrated with that. But other than that, not much going on. You have set up a great returning guest for us this evening.
Right. It's been a while. It's been, I don't know, a couple years. I mean, since we're, you know, we have been kind of back on the routine of things, but this gentleman that we're having, he's a return guest. He's a personal friend of mine. Just have highly, highly, highly respect him and love him to death. He's awesome. I don't know if he's going to be calling in, but we're going to have the returning Ron Patton.
He is on hold. He's been on hold for 3 minutes. Do you want to go ahead
okay.
and bring him on?
Bring him on.
Let's get him.
All righty, I am here. It's Ron.
Hey, Ron, how's it going?
Actually, I'm enduring the stomach flu or something of that nature, so I can feel your pain to some extent.
I didn't have the stomach, it's all the sinus and the lungs. That's, you know, I had a strep test that tested negative, but I know I caught it somewhere, like I said, either the gym, because a lot of people that are hacking and everything, either through the gym or through the store. So just one of those things. But I usually get one once a year and building my immune system, but I'm 90% over it. I'm thinking, you know, it's pretty good. Still a little bit of congestion, but, you know, we just have to be careful and try and stay away from sick people. But a lot of this stuff is viral. It's airborne. So probably the better thing to do is to stay home if you can.
Yeah, I'm kind of under the impression, too, that some of this may be chemtrail-oriented because over the past several weeks, they've been really doing a lot of spraying, and it seems like when they do that spraying and then it starts raining, usually people get sick, and so that's what I've been seeing, witnessing. So.
So it's a residual of chemtrails. Before, it's not just the viral or bacterial, it's from the chemtrails.
Well, it's a combination, you know, but that's my feeling anyway. And I've been reading up on some reports, too, of sort of this pneumonia that's been going around too, which they're kind of originating from China, and now it's in the United States. So, you know, it's just, it's interesting because when you go to the doctor, they can't necessarily really identify it per se. We have all these new types of viruses and bacterias running around. But again, I think the what the chemtrail stuff does is it just overbunes an already suppressed immune system. So
okay.
it's sort of a cumulative effect of what's already going on.
Oh, that's a really cool perspective because I never thought of it that way.
Yeah, well, you know, and a lot of times people say, ah, chemtrails. Well, you know, the reality is there's been analysis of the particulates, and it really does show that there's all kinds of crud coming out of the sky, which really was never there before the phenomena of chemtrails began. So, and then, you know, they also examine soil as well, and they find high levels of aluminum, barium, strontium, and other crud that's just not organic. So there's something definitely going on. And so what I just try to do is be proactive as possible and just try to take good care of my health as much as I can.
Yeah, I've been kind of following that story as well. I don't believe what the media says. I was kind of looking into it, and they're saying, well, yes, it's primarily, if it's in the U.S., this China thing, it's primarily affecting kids, and they're getting pneumonia, but it's no real, you know, novel virus. It's just RSV and all these things that kids get, and, you know, don't worry about it. In my mind, I'm thinking, oh, God, here's COVID 2.0.
Well, it's going to happen. Something is going to happen because they've been talking about it, you know. And so usually there's that forewarning by, you know, individuals like Fauci and Gates, like, hey, you know, you thought this was bad. Wait till the next one. It's like, how do they know that there's going to be a next one? So basically it's sort of, you know, what's referred to as revelation of the method, whereby they're kind of exposing their plans in a very subliminal manner.
And for anyone that isn't familiar, Ron is the producer of Ground Zero, Clyde Lewis. I guess we should introduce you in case there's a listener that may have not have heard from you before.
Sure, yeah. I'm the executive producer of Ground Zero, Clyde Lewis. We're a nationally syndicated radio show out of Portland, Oregon. And I also a publisher. I used to publish MK Zine, which actually I'm going to start publishing again and start doing a radio podcast. MK Zine examines coercive mind control and invasive human experimentation, along with other related abuses, because mass mind control today is something that's, I believe, very pervasive, both individualized and systematic, as well as mass mind control. And so I'm kind of starting that back up again, and I'll be putting together my first podcast within a couple of weeks.
Oh, awesome. Love to just be there and listen to you.
Yeah, and also it's going to be a multimedia venture. I used to actually put out a magazine called MK Zine,
mm-hmm.
and it was sold back in the day at Tower Records and Barnes & Noble.
Oh, I remember that, yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so I've just had so many requests throughout the years, and, you know, I've been busy with other type of media projects, but there's just a big void right now when it comes to that subject matter of mind control. And so I decided to, along with Ilana Freeland, a good friend of mine, to get that up and running again. And you know, hopefully inform some people on kind of what's really going on in the world and why we see all these major societal changes where there appears to be so much, you know, divide and conquer type mentality and so much division where, you know, people can't even think for themselves anymore. It seems like most people can't anyway. So we're going to take a hard look at what's going on with that subject today.
I mentioned a while ago something I came across regarding mind control. I mean, we all know that supermarkets are designed and laid out based on psychology to get you to buy this, that, and the other thing. But I came across something. I was wondering, curious if you had ever heard of it. This was back in the 80s. These researchers had some sort of electronic device they put outside some place, and it was sending out signals that were to get people to trip, and people would trip. Whatever it was kind of weird. But in the thing I read, there was this technology was used in supermarkets back in the 80s to get people to buy more. Have you ever heard anything like that?
Yeah, I don't know much about it. I've heard about it, but, you know, they can carry certain types of signals via microwave to where people actually hear voices. But probably the type of technology back then, what they were trying to do is to, you know, create certain types of subliminal brainwave patterns to where, you know, people would, you know, be more suggestive, kind of put them in a post-hypnotic trance. So it basically, you know, there's various levels. There's something like that where you can go directly and kind of make a person feel either anxious, or you can make a person feel tranquil, or again, put them in that sort of alpha state where they're more suggestive into maybe purchasing or buying something that they wouldn't normally buy. But, you know, people can also be under some sort of post-hypnotic trance through forms of neuro-linguistic programming as well, whereby you have a person who uses a certain type of cadence with how they're speaking. They might repeat things about three times. It's also indicative of their body language. So it's sort of a combination of body language and the use of certain types of keywords that triggers a desired response.
It's crazy. It makes me wonder what's going on behind the scenes. They just also came out with this thing where they hooked a device up over somebody's head, and they had them visualize something, and the computer basically read, like if you would think of a giraffe, and the computer on the other side of the room would print a giraffe. Like, I mean, it's wild, wild stuff that's going on.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, they've been able to do that kind of stuff actually since maybe the 60s, and they really got into it in the 70s. There's something called a neurophone, which you can basically, as long as your skin is touching this device, you can hear these audio in your head. it's bypassing, you know, the regular auditory system through your ears, but you can, you're hearing it directly in your head. And so this just proves that this technology does exist. Actually, I'd like to get one of those neurophone devices to, you know, show people that, yeah, this stuff actually happens. I believe the guy's name was Dr. Flanagan. He's the one that invented it. And, you know, he basically set it up to prove that this kind of technology does exist. And, you know, now we have what's referred to as voice-to-skull technology, which also has been around for a long time, but they've been able to refine it throughout these years. And so mind control technology is electronically based, to the extent where they can create artificial schizophrenia, and they can discredit an individual like a whistleblower or what have you. And there's a lot of reports of this. So, you know, granted, there are individuals that have mental health issues, and
mm-hmm.
they might sort of gravitate toward this kind of conspiracy. But on the other hand, there are individuals who have no idea what's going on, why they're hearing these voices, you know, and they go to a psychiatrist. And then, of course, the psychiatrist doesn't have any frame of reference or basis of understanding when it comes to this stuff. And they automatically get diagnosed with schizophrenia or other type of mental illness, and they're prescribed drugs. That's something that's very concerning, but there is a diagnostic equipment actually that one can set up if they feel that they are being targeted by this kind of technology.
With the mind control or whatever is happening behind the scenes, Lord knows, what do you think the end game is? They just want us to be a bunch of mindless zombies? Which I assume that's what it is.
Well, you know, before it was more individualized. It was more systematic, like kind of like what they were doing with Project MKUltra, started around 1953. Their justification was they wanted to kind of be ahead of the game of what the Soviets were doing and the North Koreans, because they found out that they were brainwashed. That's when the term brainwashing came out. They were brainwashing prisoners and making them believe that they were doing a bad thing. And so when they came back, they were all like anti-American or whatever. But so the justification for using all these types of methodologies for mind control was to kind of be ahead of the game during the Cold War. And so usually these methods that were employed had to do with the use of drugs. And, of course, a lot of people know about the LSD experiments back in the day. Also, electroshock was used quite a bit. And then they would also, of course, use various forms of hypnosis. Today we're past that, and most of the mind control is done electronically, where they can even use satellites to triangulate upon an individual and create all kinds of brainwave disruption.
Does 5G have anything to do with it? There's always been, or for a while, there's been talk of the 5G conspiracy.
Well, I think it can amplify it. Yeah, 5G definitely can amplify it. I don't know if there's a direct beam wavelength that comes from the cell towers, but I think there's the amplification factor. Because, you know, our bodies are electric. Our minds are electric. So if you can amplify something, then I think that can create more disruption. Yeah, I know that there's a lot of controversy regarding 5G and even 6G, but I think the bottom line, it's not really a good thing if you're around it for prolonged periods of time. But you know, the reality though is the satellites that are already up there, and you know, you have Elon Musk with his Starlink satellites and stuff. So don't think this is all a benevolent thing. The part of the end game, I think, is to have what they refer to as full spectrum dominance over the entire planet. And basically that's what the military and the Department of Defense have said several times, that that's what they want to accomplish.
What do you think about that, Sherry? That's kind of terrifying.
Well, there's some truth to that, what Ron just said. Absolutely. There's a lot of things we don't know about. There's some things that
yeah.
are very questionable.
Well, my good friend Ilana Freeland has written several books about this subject matter when it comes to creating a space fence, so-called space fence, and being able to set up these satellites to be able to, again, target and triangulate different things. And that's one of the reasons why the chemtrail delivery system has also been set up to send up these magnetic particulates to be able to intensify, you know, the absorption, and to where, you know, people are more affected in people's moods. Like I was saying earlier, there's a lot of people that are just out of it or depressed, or they have severe brain fog and they don't know why. But when you think about it, we just live in a lot of electrosmog, you know, ambient electrosmog, whether it comes from Wi-Fi or electronic devices. And so when you think of that, along with what they're doing, you know, high in our atmosphere, yeah, it can be kind of horrific when you think about it. But at the same time, there are various things we can do to kind of help mitigate and offset those effects.
But you can't really escape it, I imagine. I mean, even if you live out in the middle of nowhere, you're probably getting something.
You're actually a little better. Yeah, it's a little better if you're out in the country. But again, it's just sort of like you got to be able to take care of the things that you can. And one is taking care of your physical health as much as possible, and, you know, keeping your immune system really pristine as much as possible. I think people need to detoxify a lot more, and you know, whether it's doing colonics or you know, doing fasting, also taking like Epsom salt baths. There's various types of baths that you can take that help get rid of a lot of these impurities and stuff in your skin. You just got to take advantage of all of those things that are out there. And, you know, Sherry, you know what to do when it comes to your health. So, but, you know, I think it's just, you know, we get to the point where it's so overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
And then you also have people that suffer from cognitive dissonance, right? It's like, yeah, this stuff probably happens, but I just don't want to believe it. I don't want to have to deal with it. So, I mean, I feel for humanity. I feel for people. But at the same time, I think it's important that we do know what the truth is when it comes to a lot of this. And then even have just be able to have discussions about it. We may not totally agree on everything, but at the same time, where's our heart when it comes to this stuff? And that's what I look at. I try to look past all the labels of like left and right, you know, conservative, liberal, you know, that's all bogus anyway. What it comes down to is, where is a person's heart?
Absolutely.
I feel like all this technology is just to keep us in line, to keep the elite elite and all the people with power in power.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And it's interesting how, you know, this has been going on for years, but now it's like really gone off exponentially. And that's why we've kind of felt like that book by I believe his name is Alvin Toffler, who wrote that book in the late 60s, Future Shock.
Mm-hmm.
We've reached the point of future shock where technology has sort of surpassed our ability to accept it. You know, it's just become too overwhelming. We've gotten to that sort of that pinnacle of future shock, and I think that's one of the reasons why people are in sort of the mental state they're at today.
Well, it definitely seems that mental illness, I mean, it's like everybody has something. I have anxiety. This person has bipolar. And now they just want to throw drugs at everything. And now, you know, half of everybody's all medicated on God knows what, and what that does.
Well, yeah. Yeah, definitely. You just have to look at the medical industry, the pharmaceutical industry, and, you know, a lot of people go, oh, conspiracy theory. Well, all you have to do is just follow the money trail, you know. And a lot of conspiracy isn't necessarily theory, you know, and that's it's kind of a misnomer, because if people take a look at what conspiracy means, you know, it simply means two or more people doing something subversive. That's essentially what it means, you know, it just takes two people to do something in secret where it sort of detrimentally affects somebody else or another group of people. And conspiracies happen in families. It happens in religions. It happens in politics. It happens in our legal system. We can't get away from it. So it's not too far-fetched to see how you have all these various conspiracies going on. And then, you know, I think the big deal is like, okay, who's at the top of the pyramid? Who's sort of running the show, you know? And that's where a lot of controversy lies.
Who really is running the show in America? I'm sure it's not the president. There has to be some sort of like Illuminati or some people sitting in a Bavarian castle somewhere calling the shots for everyone.
Well, I mean, yeah, that's a possibility, but I think Illuminati is just a catchphrase, because the original Bavarian Illuminati only lasted about 30 years, I think. It didn't last very long. And but, you know, you have secret societies, you know, like the Masons or whatever, that seem to be integral in various types of conspiracies. And so I don't, you know, I thought I knew at one time, but it just got to the point where it's like, you know, there are various groups. Some people think it's just a political thing with some very rich, wealthy people. Some would gravitate it toward being more of a spiritual type of control that's going on. But you know, the bottom line is, yeah, that we are being controlled, we are being manipulated by what I believe are very wealthy people that have a malevolent intent against society. And, you know, I don't think they have a soul. So, but, you know, it's been going on for years, but it's interesting to see how things are really culminating into this sort of like apocalyptic scenario, like what's kind of going on right now in Israel and the Middle East. And, you know, that's something that is quite alarming, but at the same time, it's, you know, people that follow biblical prophecies, I guess, aren't too surprised.
I've been hearing a lot about this end of days thing with biblical prophecies, you know, rivers running red, the Euphrates dried up, the Israel thing. I'm not convinced we're right there to where the world's going to end, but it is a little alarming the direction that, you know, we're headed.
Yeah. And again, I think a lot of this is just to kind of create more fear, because, you know, you got to figure out what does fear do to prolonged fear. It just makes the person just, you know, again, get into that cognitive dissonance state where they just don't want to have to deal with anything anymore. It's just, it's too much. Things become confusing. They don't know what, they can't separate truth from fiction. It's it's difficult to discern as to what's going on. And now, you know, we have this whole thing about the metaverse, you know, creating virtual realities. So I think that just sort of complicates things too.
I'm into
one with artificial intelligence.
I'm big into virtual reality. I do it every day. I love it. That's my guilty pleasure.
Uh-huh.
Sucks you
in.
Yeah,
but I'm talking about the type of virtual reality and sort of coupled with artificial intelligence to create different realities. You know, I brought up the mind control stuff a little bit earlier. There's something that there's a book by Dr. Rob Duncan called Operation Soul Catcher, and it has to do with mind hacking and mind uploading, basically uploading a different reality into your brain. And I've known several individuals who have undergone this, and you know, so that's the type of subversive virtual reality that I usually talk about. And then I think that virtual reality can also be beneficial for people as well, you know. So there's always a flip side to the coin, so to speak. But I think, you know, right now with artificial intelligence and virtual reality, the metaverse, we need to kind of be wary and be able to separate the various facets of that technology.
What do you think about this, Sherry?
Yes, it's way over my head, and I can imagine it's true. I don't know enough about it, but yeah, so definitely I agree with Ron. It's scary.
Yeah, I had a friend from San Diego. She was a social worker. Her name is Diana Napolis, and she was exposing some corruption with the Child Protective Services, because there were reports of certain families that were involved in ritual abuse that has some of these foster care children, and they weren't really looking into it, and there was, I guess, quite a bit of evidence going on. And so she was, I guess, going to the newspaper and to the TV stations to say, hey, you know, this isn't right. Then all of a sudden she started hearing voices. Now, mind you, she never had any mental health issues prior to that, but she started hearing these voices. And she'd hear the voice of, believe it or not, Steven Spielberg, and also of Jennifer Love Hewitt. And the thing is that she would hear these voices, especially at night when she was supposed to go to sleep, and it got to the point where she was just sleep deprived. She could not sleep. She would just hear these voices nonstop, and she had a mental breakdown, where she thought that these were actual Steven Spielberg trying to harass her. And she went to Steven Spielberg's residence and started screaming at him and stuff. And, you know, and of course she was diagnosed with, you know, she was court ordered to get a diagnosis, and they said, oh yeah, well, she's schizophrenic and stuff. You know, the other thing that was going on was, now I think this was like in the 90s, mid 90s to late 90s when this occurred. And so I bring up that soul catcher technology. She was also exposing online Michael Aquino. Michael Aquino was the founder of the Temple of Set, which is an offshoot of the Church of Satan. He was also very instrumental in U.S. Army intelligence and psychological warfare. And he was on a lot of TV shows like Sally, Jesse, Raphael, and Geraldo Rivera, shows like that, where, you know, they would say, you know, can a decorated army officer also be a Satanist? You know, stuff like that. So he was pretty popular in the TV crowd for a while. But she was exposing some stuff that Michael Aquino was doing. And I think that may have what really got her into hot water, to where they started targeting her with this type of technology. And I don't believe those voices were of Steven Spielberg or Jennifer Love Hewitt. I believe even back then they were able to mimic it, mimic voices to make people sound. I mean, they could do it definitely today with, you know, AI voices. But you have to understand that technology is set up in such a way to where the technology existed 25 to 30 years ago, you know, before it actually comes out, you know, into public domain. So anyway, she was, she went to court. She had to spend some time in prison. But also during this time, she started talking about seeing these total different realities where she'd, like, get up in the morning and she'd look outside and she'd see, like, two different suns converging and exploding, kind of like she was on an acid trip, right? But again, if you read the book Operation Soul Catcher, now Dr. Robert Duncan was big into DARPA at one time. And so he basically can validate what a lot of these people are talking about, where they're seeing these different realities. And again, it's just a form of virtual reality, but it's all sort of embedded into the brain, where they're seeing or they're hearing these different things. So this is just on a smaller micro scale. So just imagine what they're going to be able to do to all of us, you know, sometime in the future. And, you know, sort of begs the question, what can we do to, you know, deflect this stuff that's going on?
That's what my question was for you. Like, if you're targeted individually, like, I assume tinfoil hats don't work. Like, what can you do? You just kind of screwed, I guess.
Well, I mean, there are certain types of Faraday cages that actually do work. But, I mean, a person's not going to live there 24-7. I have a good friend by the name of Jesus Mendoza, who lives in Mission, Texas. And he was one of the first documented targeted individuals that I know of. And his targeting started happening in Lansing, Michigan, when he was going to Cooley Law School. And what happened to Jesus was that he found out that the president of the law school was embezzling funds from minority students, like grants, certain grants that were coming in, but he would, like, kind of siphon off those grants. So he was exposing what was going on, and then all of a sudden he started coming down with a lot of inflammation in his body and, you know, severe brain fog, and, you know, his heart was pounding out of his chest. And so he went to the doctor, and the doctor did some blood tests on him and said, it's like, seems like you're suffering from radiation poisoning or something, because your corpuscle cancer extremely high, and they're clustered, and it's just indicative of somebody that's being bombarded by a microwave.
Wow.
So he asked, do you have a microwave oven? He goes, no, because he thought maybe his microwave oven might be malfunctioning.
Mm-hmm.
So when Jesus found out about this, he's starting to get on the internet and, you know, trying to figure out what's going on. And he realized that, well, they do have these microwave lasers. There's a document by Julianne McKinney, who was an Army electronics expert, who wrote about microwave harassment through the use of these so-called non-ionizing weapons. And he came to the realization that, wow, this stuff actually exists. So he couldn't finish the law school, but he also, what he did is he looked at who the board of, he was trying to figure out who would do this to me, you know? And so he looked at the board of directors from Cooley Law School, and mm-hmm. he noticed that several of them had Department of Defense connections with advanced electronics, including DARPA. So like, okay, maybe there might be a connection here. But why me, you know? So anyway, he couldn't finish law school, and he went back to Mission, Texas, to where he was still actually being targeted. He thought maybe if he moved down there, he'd be okay, but they were still targeting him, especially like at night. And also it wasn't affecting his wife, interestingly, but it was affecting his children. And he would set up these video cameras, and he also got some diagnostic equipment from, I believe, Roger Tolsis, who used to be Howard Hughes's engineer. And so he got set up with that, and he was able to show the trajectory of whatever was affecting him was the same trajectory as a satellite coming overhead.
Mm.
And it would also show, the video would also show these beam flashes, the quick bursts. And it was just, you can look it up. Probably it might be on YouTube, but if you look up Jesus Mendoza microwave harassment or targeted individual, some of those videos may still be up. But it's very disheartening to see a person that has such a beautiful soul and who really wants to help other people. What he does now is he lives in a house that doesn't have much electronics because he's diagnosed with extreme electronic sensitivity because of the targeting. Mm-hmm. And but what he tries to do is do a lot of legal work for individuals and help set forth laws. Like, he's working on a law right now which prohibits the use of Wi-Fi in schools, and the extreme amount of Wi-Fi that's running through schools, which he's been able to prove that is very damaging to children's brains. And so that's what he's trying to do right now. And, you know, bless his soul, man. He's been such a good friend of mine for like over 20 years. And even though he's, you know, gradually deteriorating, he has a really good spirit, and just, you know, he does what he can under the circumstances, and he makes the best of it.
I've heard a lot about that microwave stuff. That happens at like embassies, where like you have like an American embassy.
Oh yeah, yeah. They had the so-called Havana syndrome, right?
Years ago,
but that's actually been going on for a while. It also happened at an embassy in Moscow through the woodpecker, what they refer to as woodpecker technology, same type of thing. It's been going on for a number of years, but now I think it's coming out more in the open, and it can be brutal. You know, you can use it to disrupt like an unruly crowd, to where, you know, it affects their brainwave patterns where they feel really anxious and like, oh man, I don't want to do this anymore. Right. to even to the extent where it can fry your brain. And Julianne McKinney, who's also a whistleblower, like I said earlier, she's a former Army intelligence officer who was an expert in electronics, talked about how we're using these test models in Panama, Granada, Somalia using these laser weapons. And when they were doing autopsies on some of the civilians that were affected by this, they, you know, basically opened up their brain and it was just mush.
Ooh.
And so it's like, okay, what caused this? Well, microwave lasers. But of course, you don't hear about it in the media.
Well, of course not.
House microwave is, you know, detrimental. Can you imagine what you're just describing? Yes,
what was that?
We're living in a land that's slowly killing us.
Somebody told me that microwaves aren't even legal in Russia. Like, there's no such thing as microwaves in Russia. I don't know if that's true or not.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that either, but maybe the use of microwaves in certain areas, you know, I can see that. But again, it's sort of like the whole Wi-Fi thing that's used in our schools, in our public schools. And, you know, it's just appalling that we just don't care. Or the powers that be, you know, try to downplay it. And so there is different types of shielding that people can utilize. I know that there are these diodes that sort of refract various types of beams or what have you, or electronics, or they can ground the electronics a little bit more. People can put them in their into their walls to help sort of regulate the amount of ambient electricity that goes around. But yeah, with Wi-Fi, it's a little tougher. People, I know it's kind of a hassle, but if they're not using it, they should just probably just shut it off. And, you know, just when they're using it, they should be very selective. But, you know, a lot of times people live in apartments too, right? And so
right.
You have all this electrosmog running on amok. Plus you got smart meters going on too, which is emitting a lot of radiation. So, yeah, it can be very trying on the human body and the human mind. But I think what, you know, if you're a spiritual person, I think there's a certain amount you can do spiritually to sort of heighten up and, you know, on a holistic level, you know, create a little bit more of a barrier between this and the essence of who you are. And so, I mean, that's what I try to do as much as possible. I don't have any particular type of belief system per se, but I just try to, you know, utilize certain type of meditative states to where I try to ground myself as much as possible. And I think it's really important too, if, you know, people need to go out into nature and just take their shoes off and to ground themselves a lot more. It can be very tranquilizing, and, you know, you just feel more harmonious and more holistic with yourself.
Smart meter field, Ron?
What's that?
You have a smart meter field. You see them out there selling on Amazon where they help block some of the radiation that's coming out of the meters.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, there's different things that you can do, like I said, to help kind of mitigate it as much as you can. So it just, you know, part of it just depends upon where you live. And, you know, again, keeping your immune system in pristine condition, I can't say enough about it, because we're just living in a time to where you're going to see a bigger death rate coming up. I think it's going to happen exponentially. And it's not just because of, you know, some sort of crazy virus out there. It's just our bodies can only take so much, right? And so, and I think, I do believe that there is a population, or I should say depopulation agenda that's been talked about for years, and now it's sort of coming into fruition. And Maurice Strong at the Eco Summit in, I believe it was in Brazil, 1992, said that we need to get the human population down by 2/3 by whatever means necessary. I mean, you know, so I think that speaks volumes. And you just have to read between the lines.
Well, I work in pathology, and I will say that there's cancer seems to be much more prevalent in the last couple of years, based on my observations working in pathology.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, and you're going to start seeing all kinds of crazy, weird types of cancers, too, that maybe aren't quite as common.
Yeah, I was reading about that, about several cancers that are coming up. A lot of them. I don't know. What's the ages, or is this all over the across the board, Jason?
Oh, it seems like younger people are getting, you know, the colorectal cancers and the breast cancers. And oddly enough, I've seen a rise in males with breast cancer. Yeah, just it's,
well, I think that goes to show you that there's a lot more hormone imbalances too that's going on, and our gut health is really compromised. You have I suffer from overgrowth of candida, and so I have to be very careful usually about what I eat. But yeah, you're seeing the hormone imbalances and the digestive issues, and so it's not surprising. And you know, we still eat way too much processed foods.
Yeah, I live a pretty unhealthy lifestyle. I had a colonoscopy. I was actually shocked that I didn't have cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, I was just
reading. I mean,
go ahead. It's got, what is it called? Glycinite? The Roundup stuff.
Uh-huh.
They found up then. It's got that, one of the ingredients.
Yeah, well, maybe it's something that are you growing your own food?
Okay. No, I'm not.
Well, yeah, it's always interesting. It's kind of like years ago when I had wanted to figure out my metal levels, you know, and I came up with high in mercury and high in arsenic. It's like, what the heck? And with the mercury, maybe it was from my teeth, you know, with the fillings that were cracking and stuff like that.
Right.
But the arsenic, it's like, where the heck is that coming from? Now, I did grow up in Navy housing, and they had a lot of those bomb shelters, like in the backyard and stuff like that. So the soil could have been contaminated and the pipes and stuff like that. But, yeah, so I had to go through a detox. Pretty regimented detox to help get rid of, you know, most of the mercury, which was really causing a lot of anxiety and also severe brain fog. But I felt so much better once I went through that protocol.
Is it a CBC? Is that how you find out? You have the arsenic in your system and everything through blood test?
Yes. Yep. Did a blood test. Uh huh.
Oh my gosh! Wow. That's scary.
Mm-hmm. Well, I did that. It was a combination of that, and then they also, you know, did take in the part of your hair, the back of your neck, and analyzing your hair as well as blood. It was a comprehensive blood test and metal test. So.
Oh, wow.
But it made a big difference, though. And then my candida issues started dissipating, but then it kind of started back up several years after that. And so fortunately, once I moved back to the Northwest, the candida problems started happening. But when I lived down in San Diego, I didn't really have it.
Well, that's interesting.
Who knows? Yeah.
I think it's just a compound of everything, like you said, Ron. It's about, you know, with the air you breathe and the chemtrails to everything they spray to the food we eat.
Yeah, and it's just it's a lot more moist and moldier up here, you know, so I'm probably better off in drier, warmer weather, per se. But I'm just making do with what I can take care of now. And I also have I use this ionizer in the house where it kills a lot of molds and fungus and stuff like that. It makes the air smell a lot better, too.
Well, I got one of those, an air purifier. It's got an ionizer. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, it has a little UV set up to it. Yeah. So it works really well.
Wow. Jeez.
Well, it sounds like we're all doomed. Hope everybody has a great week. No.
Hey, but there's always hope, you know, and that's why I think that we need to, you know, be able to deal with the truth in such a way to where it empowers us to be proactive into taking care of ourselves so we can help take care of other people too. And sadly, I think a lot of humanity lacks a lot of empathy. And, you know, when people are so under a lot of stress and have a lot of fear, they become self-absorbed. And so I think that kind of, you know, causes a lot of other issues in terms of our social interaction as well. So we need to get back into being able to talk with others and show compassion and love with one another. And I think that's a real instrumental part of the healing process that we're going to have to go through, because times are actually going to get a lot harder, I feel. But at the same time, I'm a naturally hopeful person, and I don't want to give up. I mean, I'm going to go scratching and clawing till my last breath. So that's how I am anyway.
Yeah, crazy world we live in, I agree. Just got to just be nice to your neighbors, put out positive energy. So I don't think there's much we can do to change it, and I agree that the times are going to get a lot tougher. One thing's going to happen. If it ain't all the things we're discussing now, it's going to be the major earthquake in the Northwest with the subduction zone or whatever that is, which is supposed to happen at some point. So.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, I forgot about that. It's interesting. We're having a lot of these mini earthquakes in various places, too. So it's just a precursor. You know, something a lot bigger. And, you know, I think people need to learn to be able to prepare better, too, to have certain types of, whether it's food reserves and water reserves and stuff like that. You know, you don't have to go overboard, but just have something on hand in case of there's either a natural disaster or unnatural disaster. And that's what I try to do, store a certain amount of things in put in my garage, and, you know, hopefully I won't have to use it. But, you know, if something does come down and we're out of electricity for a while, I got some propane heaters for a little bit and might be able to use those. But, you know, and also some first aid items. I think that's always prudent to have. So, you know, what would be really nice is to have an underground bunker, but, you know, a little costly, so
yeah, those are expensive.
I'll have to forego that for a while, but I've been in those, and those things are really neat. I have some friends up in Yelm, Washington, and I went into one. It's like, wow, I want to live in one of these things. But you know, you do what you can do, and hope for the best. Yeah, you can get nitrogen. Packed food, you know, in buckets, like those, 25 or 5 gallon buckets, I mean, with beans and rice and stuff like that. And I think it's a good idea to be able to do that.
don't just eat Top Ramen, because I just watched something. Some dude ate 300 pounds of Top Ramen over the course of a month, and it, like, blew out his GI tract.
That's toxic stuff. Yeah, I don't know why people eat that. Those packages you buy in the store that are really cheap. One time I got desperate. It's like, okay, I'm going to have some. Now, I grew up in Hawaii, and so, we eat saimin, which is like ramen. I think the noodles are a little thicker, and just the broth is a lot more natural. But so I tried this ramen, and it's like, oh, man, I got sick from eating that stuff. It's like, what the hell? Then I looked at the ingredients. I go, okay, well, no wonder.
It's the packet that makes you sick. It's got so much artificial ingredients and sodium. It's just very unhealthy.
Yeah, MSG and, all kinds of stuff.
Right. Yakisoba is great. I got hooked on the yakisoba noodles, and just add your own meat and vegetables.
Well, Ron, it looks like we're out of time. I want to thank you for taking the time to come on. Now, how can people, if they want to contact you or listen to Ground Zero, how would they go about doing that?
Well, if they want to listen to the show, we're on from Monday through Friday, 7 to 10 p.m. Pacific time. All they need to do is go to groundzero.radio. If people want to contact me, they can just email me at groundzeroron@gmail.com. And soon I'll be putting up my MK Zine podcast, so I'll keep you guys abreast as to when that occurs.
Yeah, would love to hear it.
Yeah, let us know. Be able to share it on Paranormal Horizons page and make sure your name gets out there and get enough publicity and everything on that. That would be wonderful.
So I appreciate that. Thanks, Jason and Sherry, for having me on.
You're welcome. So much to talk about. It's just on that fast hour, it just goes by. It blows really by pretty fast.
It sure does. Oh, well, thanks again, Ron. And we'll have to get you back on in the future, because these are actually subjects I am passionate about. So thanks again.
You're very welcome. Have a good evening now.
Yeah, thank you, Ron. Take care and help you feel better.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Take care. Much aloha to you.
All right, sure. We got to wrap it up. I got Uber Eats on the way, so no ramen tonight.
All right. Well, I'm going to make some Asian noodles. And so that's what I'm going to plan on doing, making some Asian noodles and getting healthy. And, pretty much about it. But yeah, thank you, Ron, for coming back on radio. It's been a while, and yeah, it's been great.
Well, do you have a plug for yourself?
I might as well. Hey, anybody wants to get a hold of me on Facebook, Psychic Medium Sherry, it's Sherri, or you can get a hold of me on www.psychicmediumsherry.com. And you can fill out the contact form. If you want a reading in Chinese medicine, yes, get a hold of me and I'll get back to you. So, that's pretty much about it. And I'm just going to just lay low and heal. And
and her call just dropped. Well, everybody, I hope everybody has a great and safe week. And we will be back next Sunday, 7 p.m. West Coast time. And stay safe. Stay away from Top Ramen and being targeted by unknown agencies with microwave and mind control weapons. With that, good night.